we go with the John Charlis, Sherry Elliker Show. Camera over here. There you are, camera. That's right. You writing to us is good, 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 good for you. 9 out of 10 dentists recommend that you write to us. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. Other Andrew says don't bother. There is Muckleshoot text line. I'm trying to read and talk at the same time. Sure, you can't do that. It's possible.
It's fine. You got it.
No, I was reading other than the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. I was reading something about Russia. Can't do that. All right, but you can write to us. To text us 1-888-973-5476. Teeny. Should we tell her to put the button?
Okay, good. Now,
all right. 137, I think, is the count. Horrible attack there at a concert hall in Russia. ISIS-K takes responsibility for it. So the little side story is the United States was monitoring some of the chatter that was happening, and they had warned Russia that there could possibly be an attack. And I think either Russia ignored or chose not to do something about it. And then people say, did Putin use this as a red flag or a
false flag?
Just sort of a false flag in order to sort of get people more fired up about Ukraine and what's fighting over there. I don't know the inside politics, all of just what I had sort of read, the cursory view of this, how the story is developing right now. But what comes out today is that when the guys that they caught from ISIS-K, what they did to them there in the Russian camps, I only saw one of the videos. Whenever they say warning, the video you're about to see is going to be graphic, I don't want to see it. Don't want to look at it. Guy breaks his leg getting a rebound. Don't want to see it. This case, Joe's like, I watched it. Of course, Joe has obviously no soul. What did you watch, Joe? What was the guy doing?
They cut off his ear and made him eat it.
Okay.
After they beat him.
Yeah, they handled a couple of them differently. I think one of them, they put electronics on his...
Right. They put some, like a 80-pound or 80-volt battery on his groin area and electrocuted him.
Sure,
shocked him.
Groinal area.
Oh,
sure,
groinal area. Groinal. I'm sorry.
But you add oil. They end, it makes it sound more medical.
Okay.
I watched the video of the one guy sitting there in the courtroom, still had the plastic bag that I guess they were using to sort of suffocate him. That was still around his neck. They didn't bother to even hide any of the evidence. He just seems this sort of stunned look as the judge is reading to him. Did they get most of them? And I guess they just want to try to squeeze as much information out of ISIS-K as they possibly can. This is the same terrorist group. The Taliban was responsible for keeping ISIS in check. But even the United States knew that there at the Abbey Gate, as we were tucking tail and running out of Afghanistan, and those 13 Americans died there. I was reading some of the information that had come out regarding that they knew that there was going to be an attack there. And they even knew the guys that they thought were going to be sneaking the bombs in there. And they asked, can we take this person out? I think this was the day before the Abbey Gate. And further up the chain said no, which the family still wants somebody to be held accountable for the loss of their loved ones there, as we really showed exactly how the Biden administration handles international affairs there as the planes were leaving Afghanistan. These are the terrorists that went in there and just annihilated 137 people.
Putin is also thinking or casting some blame to Western society and saying that it's very possible that it's Ukraine that's behind this. And you're probably right. This adds fuel to the fire in terms of, you know, his conflict with Ukraine. But it doesn't sound to me like ISIS-K there's a lot of Muslim communities in Russia who have been badly treated. And ISIS-K is known for this exact kind of behavior.
Yeah. So Putin just trying to, you know, gin up more support for the war in Ukraine to get more people to sign up, because people are like, I'm not going in there. I'm not fighting. I don't want to be a part of this. I see what's happening. We don't have the proper training. We don't have the proper resources and equipment. It's a meat grinder, so he can't get people to sign up or at least go in. And they're also not getting paid. That's the other thing. But in Russia, what they do to your family when you don't go, or what they do to you when you refuse to go, it's just the place is a horrible mess. But for the people that were just went to that concert hall on that Friday just to hear some music and to spend some time with others, their life ends so horribly. Such horrible violence. James Carville, the raging Cajun, who is half man, half snake, Sherry. he has been saying for a while, he's the guy, the famous guy for it's the economy, stupid. He was the guy that's worked with the Biden administration. And he has been saying for a while that they need to get their act together. These Democrats need to talk about real stuff that real people care about. But it seemed like when he left LSU, he was teaching as a professor there. I think a number of students complained about it. A lot of these woke kids were upset that he was using terms and saying things. You know, he's really old school Cajun. And maybe they took him in a couple of times and told him he needed to do some training, or some of the co-eds weren't comfortable with what he was talking about, because he uses like old school, really old school Southern vernacular. And he's quit LSU because he can't stand the woke. And he has recently spoken to Maureen Dowd from the New York Times. He had some advice for Maureen Dowd. And I don't know if this is this part of him talking to Maureen Dowd.
No, separate interview.
But this is a documentary.
Yeah, talking about what
Rob Reiner. Rob Reiner.
Okay.
Really appreciate how bad Biden's poll numbers are. When you look at them, it's like walking down your grandmother naked. You can't unsee them, no matter how hard you try. And the deeper you dig.
See, that'd be the kind of thing the kids be like, I don't appreciate that because my grandmother. I never knew my grandmother, and if I could see my grandmother naked, that would have been okay for me. You know, like, fake your grandmother just, naked, right?
Just the fact that he said naked would upset some people.
Right, right. My grandmother was blind, so somehow I'm offended by that.
Anyway, big, the kind of worse it is. I don't think we thought this thing through. I don't think people realize the hunger and appetite for something different in this country. And I don't think they realize this terrific pool of candidates out of there. In a country that is just craving some kind of a change, and people say, democracy, I agree, democracy is on the ballot. But if a democracy produces two candidates that 70% of the people don't want, that people are going to say, well, just let the General Motors board pick whoever they want to be president. And I've been a Democrat all my life, but I'm beginning to think that the defining trait we have is cowardness. I can't unsee my naked grandmother.
I hear what you're saying.
The naked grandmother again. He's really fascinating. What was he saying to Maureen Dowd regarding where the Democratic Party is, Sherry? They don't eat enough hamburgers?
Yeah, it's a lot of things. What he's saying is that, you know, this is a woke society. For instance, he's saying what you were talking about with the whole school thing. He's saying, you know, I can't take a bunch of girls out, and I couldn't take a bunch of guys out when we would go out to dinner because I was too afraid to be a part of, you know, something that might accuse me of doing something wrong. He also says that, you know, it's really not fair what has happened with Trump. He said, look, why do they have to keep saying Trump is a criminal of this, of this, of this, of this? Why not reframe that and say, hey, you know what? I know you guys voted for, a lot of people voted for him, but let's take a look now at the legal challenges that he's going to have. In other words, put it in a different framework than just saying he's a lying criminal, sexist, whatever. Say, acknowledge the people that have voted for him, give them some respect, and explain why that's not the best choice.
He also goes after the preachy feminists, he says. He just, right. So he doesn't like, you know, why can't you, you know, drink beer and eat hamburgers and, you know, watch football games? And that's what Democrats are. And that's what you're leaving the party behind with, all these elites, you know, Northeast elites. And then those in California, all this woke stuff and intersectionality. He says that, you know, you're really killing yourself with this stuff. People are leaving the Democratic Party. And you can see it when it comes to Hispanic and black voters. They're like, who's this? Classic Ronald Reagan line. I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me. When you're a guy working at some factory that's still on U.S. soil in Michigan, you don't relate to somebody with purple hair who looks like they fell into a tackle box.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about affirming whatever it is, the latest thing that you think you are. They just basically want to know that there's not going to be any crime, that inflation's not going to be eating up most of their taxes or most of their income. And they also want to know that the borders are secure. Those are the three things. They don't want all that DEI crap. So when Michigan goes and you maybe lose Pennsylvania, you'll keep New Jersey, you'll keep California, but the states that you need to win, that Biden needs to win or Biden's hologram needs to win, that you're not speaking to those people. They don't relate to any of that stuff. They don't read the New York Times. They don't care about all that DEI stuff. In fact, they're threatened by it. So Carville's like, no, you got to get back and get those Democrats that probably either will not vote or they just don't like what you represent.
He says there are a lot of people on the left that would rather lose and be pure because it makes them feel good. It makes them feel superior. And
right.
He said if he could name his documentary, it would be When Politics Used to Be Fun. Because he said back then, you'd kind of get together and you'd plot all these things and then you'd leak it to the media and the media would get it. And then eventually you'd end up kind of hanging out with the other side because it was a game.
Oh,
it was. No, you're not liking that?
No, well, maybe. But he was also the guy that got – he and George Stephanopoulos, those were the guys that did the war room, right? So every woman that had been sexually assaulted by Bill Clinton – you know, whether it was a passing kind of hand move on her breast, mm-hmm. or whether it was someone being sexually assaulted in a hotel room by Bill Clinton, at all the charges that were brought up. It was Stephanopoulos and it was James Carville that were on Bimbo Patrol, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And it
yes.
was, yeah, and you'd watch George, there's that whole documentary about the war room, and you'd see him on the phone basically accusing these women of just being complete morons. And was it Carville, I think, said that if you drag a $20 bill through a trailer park, you never know what you're going to get? Can you imagine someone saying that today? So that's Carville and Stephanopoulos, what they did in order to try to save Bill Clinton from his own libido. And they were able to do it by really tearing apart a number of women that were bringing charges forward in the public. But that was before we were to believe all women.
Well, he says, a suspicion of mine is there are too many preachy females dominating the culture of his party. Don't drink beer. Don't watch football. Don't eat hamburgers. This is not good for you. The message is too feminine, he says. Everything you're doing is destroying the planet. You've got to eat your peas. I did like this. If you listen to Democratic elites, NPR is my go-to place for that. The whole talk is about how women and women of color are going to decide this election. I'm like, well, 48% of the people that vote are males. Do you mind if they have some consideration? And he's right. If you go to NPR, that is it precisely what their angle is.
I told you I've met him a couple of times, and because I want to engage with him and talk to him about numbers and, you know, polls and stuff like that. He has like about 3 minutes of time he gives me. And then he has the newspaper there, and he snaps the paper back up again. He snaps down the corner and listens to me for a little while and gets sort of just sort of half listening, you know, sort of sizing me up. And then after he finishes, you know, rebutting with anything I said, he just snaps that corner back up again. And like, I guess conversation's over.
Right. Well, they wonder why he hasn't been canceled. I mean, at the Louisiana thing, he said some stuff that was off color and people complained about it. But the experts or some pundits said, look, he's above cancellation. You get what you get. Everybody expects
they knew
it from
that.
Him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's how it goes. Finally, the weird story, a woman is hit by a train and she's killed. And then a man, I assume not, either very hungry or not in his right mind, picks up the deceased woman's leg and then walking down the highway off to the side of the highway, eating it.
Well, this happened in California. Not sure about the eating.
I thought by taking a long pause, it would not be as gross if I had just said the whole sentence without taking that pause. Did that work?
Yeah, sure.
I think it was more of a gnaw or a chew.
Yeah, he was arrested.
I watched that video too, by the way.
On multiple outstanding warrants and taking evidence from the scene and removing the remains of a human.
Mom, change the station.
Yeah, please. And let me know what station you're listening to, Mom. And did he got charged, obviously, with some weird crimes that nobody's ever heard of before, like something desecrative of... How was that, Joe? Watching the guy get his... Oh, you watch a lot of eating things. The guy that was forced to eat his ear, and then the man eating the woman's leg.
Yeah, I was sick all week, so I had a lot of time on my hands.
Were you the one that also had stories about cannibalism last week?
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
I wasn't even here last week.
No. It was earlier in the week, like on a Monday. You're like, yeah, cannibalism coming back.
Right. Let's rethink cannibalism.
Call for cannibalism.
I think that was Jacob. I think maybe I can.
It was you, Joe.
Okay. I thought maybe that would be helpful.
No, it's not helpful, Jacob. Not at all.
I will, Sherry. But
good.
Then later on, I'll take my car to Bucky's Auto Service Centers with 16 locations. Been around for 54 years. We're going to give them an extra year, Andrew.
We got to pump those numbers up.
Yeah, it's a 53, 54. I think their birthday's March. There's still time to shop for Bucky's Auto Service Centers. I think the word hilarious has now been overused, and the word amazing, you have to put that on the list as well, because I don't think this is the most hilarious thing, but I know how they do this. This is to get you to click on it. Craziest thing you've ever seen, most hilarious groom flub. I think I've seen much worse on Instagram and haven't seen a lot of stuff in person, but I did see a father give a really awkward toast. I'll tell you about that in a second, but here's the incredible, is this the one they're incredibly hilarious, Sherry?
It's incredibly hilarious, and it's also an epic blunder no one can forget or live down. So it is big, huge.
Oh, that's a tease.
I've got to listen to it. I wonder how I can.
As I take you to be my wife.
As I take you to be my wife.
I've promised to love you.
I promise to love you.
To honour and respect you.
To honour and respect you. Yeah. Come on, bro.
I will stand by you.
I will stand by you.
And be true to you always.
And be true to you always.
I will care for you.
I will care for you.
Laugh with you when you are happy. Comfort you when you are sad.
Laugh with you when you're sad.
No, comfort you.
I don't know that I'll ever forget this moment.
It's epic.
My sides hurt. I'm rolling around on the floor. Foam's gathering around the edges of my mouth. I can't see. I don't have the ability to do long division. I'm laughing.
I'm flipping you, sir.
Whatever life may bring.
Whatever life may bring.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. That's funny, too.
She loved that. Okay. Slow news day for those people in England with that. But everybody sees the stories of mom screaming at the groom or the bridesmaid vomiting. I saw that one the other day on Instagram. I went into a death scroll. I told you I was on the plane for 5 hours. I actually didn't want to get off. I was so busy just like scrolling through Instagram. You just see, it's like, God, this is addictive. And you just keep going and going and like, oh, there's the groom throwing up again or whatever. Mm-hmm. The bride throwing up, just watching all the different cuts. Sent so much of them over to Joe, too. He must be so sick of it now that I've discovered Instagram.
It is fun. I will say that. And some of it is great. Like when you have the old clips of people like music and things like that. I can waste a lot of time on that.
Give me some Tom Jones all day.
Yes, I know.
Yes. Yeah, here's the quote from the father. He said, the first one's on me, right, as the dad, right, at the thing. And everybody laughed. Oh, I'm not going to get married again, she said. And the guy said, the dad is a lawyer. No, the first one's on me. The first divorce is on me.
Oh.
I know.
Oh, not funny.
Not funny. The first one wasn't funny, where the first one's on me, like, you're going to get married again. I'm not paying for the second one. But no, he already had this first one ending. He was going to provide the divorce services for it, but the next divorce he wouldn't be doing for free. I mean, it was doubly bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's like lawyer funny. Yeah, can't you see him just sitting around his buddies and they're all telling him, like, yeah, well, you remember,
how did the guy felt, the groom?
Oh, you know, guys don't care about stuff like that so much.
Really?
Not as much as women get upset over those implications. You know, guys get it. Like, they're like, oh, divorce.
Women, yeah, the old ball and chain.
Yeah,
ball
yeah.
Ball and chain.
My
yeah.
old lady. You know, but women yeah. are much, well, I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. And they get very upset.
Did you cry? I can't see you. Did you cry at your wedding, your third one, your fourth one?
Two. I didn't cry at either one of them. But I'll tell you this. I was terrified of my parents crying. And I told the minister, I said, listen, don't do any of the stuff like, you know, when she was a little girl or anything like that. I don't want to see them cry. And he said, honey, we could dress up like Mickey Mouse and your parents are still going to cry. So get over it.
Wow. Tough love from the minister.
Well, he was right because I was so worried about it.
But why didn't you want them to cry?
Because I thought I didn't want to make them sad.
It's tears of joy.
I know, but I didn't see it that way. I saw them because my dad cried so hard at my sister's wedding, and it was awful. And I was like, oh, no.
Like embarrassing.
No, not embarrassing. Like I wanted to comfort him, and I couldn't because he's a really sentimental guy, and it meant a lot to him. And so I didn't want a repeat of that.
Could, like, during the service, when there was some silence or at least some hushed tones, could you hear him just wailing in the background, keen?
No, it wasn't that bad. But to see your dad cry is always upsetting because dads don't cry very much.
Oof, I'm a mess then. Yeah, my daughter's like, I'm going to elope because I just want to stand there and watch you cry, Dad.
See?
You cry at dog videos on Instagram.
Oh,
well, so do
I'm
I.
I'm the worst.
You've been married six or seven times, right, John? Like, have you had an incident?
In fact, number three just walked in.
Uh-oh.
No, we got married. Ours is so romantic. We got married in France, and her uncle was in Alaska. Nick, you're not allowed to walk around. The camera's going to follow you. The uncle was in Alaska, so he's on Zoom. The mom, Nick's mom, is in Salt Lake. She's 80 years old. God love her, and she doesn't know how to work the camera or the Zoom thing. So then
Nick's
son is there yelling, losing patience with the grandmother. Can you see me? And we're like, and we didn't have good Wi-Fi, so we had to leave this house. It was built in like 1540, step out onto this cobblestone street, and stand there and hold the laptop. It's also about 150 degrees out. We're holding the laptop up, trying to get the Wi-Fi to work, and the sun is just bleeding into the camera, so they can't even see us. And the mom's going, now, Nicole, I can't now. Why can't I see you? And I'm like, just go. And Uncle Nick's like, all right, I guess we're all set, ready to go. And cars are stopping right in front of us. Like, just move on. We're trying to get married. Just move on. Go. And your mom's like, no, is it mute? And then Alec yelling, Grandma, or not, what's he call her? Yeah, just take the mute off. Just take the mute off. Well, I don't know where that is. I was like, oh my God. That was it. It was about 4 minutes, right? About 4 minutes long.
And you thought that would be less complicated than having a real wedding.
Nick wants to have a real wedding now, right? Do you want a real wedding? Yeah, it's a real wedding.
Oh, we well, you got the place.
Yeah, we got the place for it. And people that come up here, groom's like, yeah, I think right after my wife, or she says, like, I do, I'm going to throw her in the lake. I'm like, okay, that would be the first straw that breaks the camel's
right.
back, okay?
Right.
Yeah, she's in her dress. She wants to be thrown into the lake.
Right.
Wouldn't that be funny? Yeah.
The second one is when they smash cake into her face.
Oh. So never understood
stupid.
That one.
I don't either. And then the bride acts like, she's holding the cake, and then they laugh and laugh. What is funny about that? You probably just paid $250 to get your makeup done.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's all, ugh.
Oh, I know. And I guess they just, now that everybody wants to go, you know, Instagrammable and stuff and have some, right. like, magical moments on everything.
That's true.
That's why I want to get a horse and I want to get a carriage. I saw a carriage for $1,300 on Facebook Marketplace. Get the carriage, get the horse, and then we can upcharge on that, Nick. Yes. Yes. Upcharge on that.
Real horse, not imaginary.
No, real horse.
Okay.
Real horse.
I went to a wedding where there was a horse and carriage. It took that horse so long to get to the church. I mean, we were like going out to our cars and like making calls and stuff. It's like, where are they? It just took forever.
Things are clunking along.
I know. Like, wow.
Yeah. All right. Best wishes to everybody out there. What are you doing, Nick? You're not allowed to clean up. I'm on the air. I always send Sherry, or I try to text Sherry while I'm on airplanes. I send her pictures of food, normally on the floor, grapes or something like that, and she gives me friendly advice. I was thinking of you the other day, Sherry, is on flying, and this sitting there woman sits down next to me and goes, I really need to drink more water. And I'm just like, uh-oh, she's a talker. She's trying to right. hook me in, right? She's trying to, and then like, well, that's interesting. It's like, nope, I'm not going to bite. Not going to bite. Flight attendant, can anybody care for water, coffee, orange juice before we take off? I'd like some water, please. She's drinking the water. Really have to drink more water. I'm like, nope. I am not. I will not say anything. And she's sitting there for a while. My dog, because she's pulling off some dog hair that's on her pants. Nope. That would be 5 hours of torture conversation. Because if you're starting out with need to drink more water, it's only going down from there. And that's going to be very hard to go down from there. And then like about 3.5 hours in, she offered me a lifesaver, like a little green. Like, who offers lifesavers anymore? She took out the pack.
Nom.
Right. Would you care for a lifesaver? Fresh pack. And she was just peeling off the cellophane off the top. I was like, nope, no thank you.
This is just a woman that has no self-awareness, because if she really believes that she's so important that a stranger would care how much water she's drinking, she has no concept.
That's the hook to get you.
Oh.
Like if I were to be me and like buy into it, right?
Okay.
Really have to drink more water.
I read that all the time. And yet I just don't drink any water. It's weird.
I know. My cardiologist says that water is essential, but drinking too much of it. I was hearing about Bobby Vinton. Do you remember Bobby Vinton?
Oh, yes, well, of course.
He drank, right. So he never drank water. He only ate ice cubes, and it ended up grinding his teeth down, and then he wasn't able to hit the high notes anymore. My daughter's in choir, and she says it's really important to have diaphragm control when it comes to singing in a choir. And I was like, my daughter doesn't have a diaphragm. I'm like, I mean, that's the way that would be 3.5 or 4 hours.
Sure.
Because if you bite on the water part of it, you're in for the long. So just like the wall is up. And I didn't have any earplugs or anything that international stuff. Because I know, because people do this to me on a plane. They quickly put on like, you know, their earphones or their buds in their ear to stop me from talking to them. I don't. I pull that thing back and just go right on into their ear.
Is your lead in or hook about water? About what's your best line to get them to engage?
I say, I'm sorry. Could you smell that one? Doc says I need to stop drinking bean juice or something. Whatever that is. No, I wait and just you know, just sort of little. I'd like to have a good conversation. I've talked to some really interesting people on planes, but you can tell when the person doesn't want to talk to you. You yell into the side of their ear. Are those the noise canceling ones? But have you met nice people? Sure, you're flying, and you probably don't talk to anybody, do you?
No, I do. When I was coming back from Florida, though, I was really tired, and this woman was sitting right next to me, and she kept looking at me, like trying to catch my eye. And wasn't buying it. So I dropped a tissue on the floor, and I went to pick it up, and as I she was looking right at me. She's like, "Do you have allergies? I have allergies."
So mad right now.
It's not so much the watery eyes as much as the runny nose that gets me.
I hate it. Yeah, I know. Is it allergy season where you live? Ah, it is where I am.
I mean, I love the flowers, but I can't stand the watery eyes. Did you hear?
They're worse than ever this year. That's what I heard. The pollen count should be about 40, and it's 7,000.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I'm probably just as guilty as anybody else, but at least maybe I have some better conversations or ask better questions, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Like I would say, hey, the plane bursts into flames, those leggings are going to be the first thing to go.
Put your shoes
that's
on.
That's a recall. That's a gift joke for everybody that's been listening for the last 2 hours.